He's got a beautiful backswing.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams, Jim Woodward with you as always. Yes, we are absolutely going to recap everything about this PGA Championship at Valhalla. We're also going to talk about the Colonial, and then we have some new news regarding Scottie Scheffler as well. So a big-time show coming at you today, but the only way that I can start this show today is to give it up to not only the Hump Man, but Jim Woodward on picking the PGA champion, Xander Schauffele. Woody, great pick.
Well, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. You guys know that. So here's the thing. Xander, come on. Shoffley's been playing so good all the time. And at some point, the golf gods are going to finally say, give this guy a chance, please. And now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. When DeChambeau hit it so far left on 16, it hits the trees, ricochets out the middle of the fairway. My ball, when I hit it left on 16, did not do that, mind you. But my ball wasn't 350 yards down the fairway either. So then he hits 8-iron in there about 3 feet. And I went, God, are you kidding me? And then Xander comes along on 17 and 18, didn't hit that bad of drives, and both of them didn't get the best breaks in the world. I'm thinking, man, does this guy have some kind of demon or what? But kudos. I mean, that up and down he made on – well, he made good up and down on 17, and then he made an unbelievable up and down on 18 with all that pressure on it, and he made a pretty good par on 16. So he did – instead of stepping on himself like he's done so many times, or everybody says he chokes. I don't know that he chokes. I still didn't believe that. I just don't think he was in the right frame to win. And, wow, was that pretty cool, though. I got to tell you guys, you tell me, I thought he pulled the putt on 18. I didn't see any way that putt was going in on 18. I mean, it looked left from the get-go, and how it was on the low side, caught the left lip, spun around, went in. It was his time, boys. It was his time.
By the way, Woody, it did look like the hole had a great catch on 18. We'll get into that. But T-Dub, not only does Xander Schauffele win his first ever major championship, really validating the fact that we've called him the second best player analytically for the past year and a half to 2 years, he marks his place in history with that. But he also marks his place in the record books, not only shooting the lowest single round record, which, by the way, Shane Lowry matched after the fact with a 9-under 62 in the first round, but he also shoots 21 under par to beat Bryson by one shot, which 21 under par is the lowest 72 hole scoring record of all time. It was an absolute masterclass of golf we saw from Xander Schauffele, was it not?
It really was, going all the way back to all week, comes out and shoots 62. In the first round, 9-under, as you mentioned, a record. It is interesting that there's been 5 62s in majors. The first one was in 2017 when, I believe it was 2017, when Brendan Gray shot it at Royal Birkdale. And the conditions there were extremely soft and all that. It's a typical open course whenever there wasn't hardly any wind, extremely calm conditions. And then the other two have all been shot, or the other four, I guess, have been shot on two different tournaments. You had both Ricky and Xander doing it last year at LACC, and then you have Lowry and Xander doing it here. But now getting back to Xander shooting the 9-under the first round, and then look at whenever he had from the – this is where I really thought it was impressive what he did. He went from the 11th hole on Friday all the way to the 7th hole on Saturday without making a birdie in that stretch. He bogeyed 11 and then from there made all pars on Friday and then proceeds to par the first six holes on Saturday. But then – has some patience there, birdies of 7 and 10, and then ends up burning 14 coming in. That's also on 15 when he made that double, but also rebounded with the birdies on 17 and 18 coming in. So I just saw a lot of times where Xander was faced with adversity, and he did it again on Sunday. Comes down and shoots a very solid 4-under on the front nine, birding the first hole. very, very crucial there. And then hit a really great shot in the nine. He admitted he kind of pushed the shot a little bit there to get in there for a birdie, but then comes back to make the horrible bogey on 10, the par 5, one of the easiest holes on the course. You think, oh, here we go, classic Xander. He's going to blow it, and it's going to be Bryson or Victor's tournament to win. But then what does he do? Hits a great iron shot on 11, hits it in there to, what was it, 8 feet or so, and makes the putt, and then ends up birding 12 after that as well. So very, very clutch stuff from Xander. Whenever he had any sort of adversity, it was a very good bounce back week for him. And then we were talking about earlier, his drive on 17 was great. It was just a yard either too short or too far left, and rolled into the bunker. Had it been just literally a foot in the other direction, he would have been perfect. It would have either made birdie or a lot easier par than he did. And then on 18, it was about the worst break he could get on the drive, because if it's a yard further right, he has a clear stance. And then if it's even a yard further left, it's in the bunker, which is a lot easier shot than what he had to deal with. So obviously, being a talented player, he's going to be able to make solid contact. But for the average player, you would have had a chance to top that thing in the water that was right there in front of you. That was not a simple shot at all. And to be able to get up and down there on 17, 18, very, very clutch. Every single aspect of the game this week, he gained shots. He gained more than a full shot on the greens, gained almost two shots approach, and gained more than a shot off of the tee. So yeah, just excellent stuff from Xander. This marks his ninth top 10 of the season. He's only played in 13 events, so only four times he's finished outside of the top 10. And of those other ones, he has finished inside of the top 25. And those, he only has one finish this year outside of the top 25. So very, very interesting stuff from Xander. It'll be intriguing to see if he can do what he did back in 2022, where he won the Zurich in the April, the team event. Then he won the Genesis Scottish Open, and the week before that, he won the Travelers. So maybe he's going to do that kind of thing where he finally breaks through the wall, gets a win, and then he might rattle off two or three in the next month or two.
T-Dub's making a great point there as far as that, what he was saying, that he could go crazy now, guys. He literally could pull a David Duval, a Nick Faldo. I can go through a lot of guys that have over the years have just kind of been almost there, and then when they break through, Katie barred the door. Even Scottie Scheffler, he struggled at first to win, and then once he started winning, look out. So I'm kind of with you, T-Dub. That could be the wall breaking down, and look out, could be a massive flood.
No doubt. And T-Dub, you bring up great points with his second shot at 18. That's the shot, in my opinion, that he won the golf tournament with. Feet in the bunker. There's heavy, heavy grass about, 40 yards short of that green. And then obviously you want to keep your layup to the left to, have an easier pitch shot to that pin location. I thought that shot was really, really good. And to strike that as crisp as he did in that situation, that just shows you the premier level ball striker that a guy like Xander Schauffele is. He hit the driver so good all week. You look at some of the stats for Xander, tee to green, gained 3.32 shots on the field. Off the tee, gained about a shot and a half. At strokes gained approach, gained almost two shots for the event. Around the greens, gained shots, and on the greens, gained 1.22 shots. I mean, the guy is the most consistent player in the world if Scottie Scheffler didn't exist. So I agree with you guys. I think that he's going to win multiple majors. He's just too good. And it's kind of interesting that, he's the defending champion of the Olympics. Those are going on later this year as well. We kind of look at the list of that after this tournament, and Xander Schauffele is ranked number 2 behind Scottie Scheffler in the Olympic standings for the United States. Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay would be your other two golfers right now in the Olympics in Paris coming up later on this year. One last thing on Xander, fellas, and I saw this on Twitter talking about how Xander and Chris Como have really transformed Xander's swing over this offseason. I mean, last September, you look at Xander's swing, not only is it shorter and more laid off, he also took it, kind of up and out on the backswing with a shut face. And Xander really has taken it back more on plane and is all the way to parallel now on his backswing with his driver, and it's right on plane, just looks beautiful. I thought it was interesting, and we always talk about how Xander hasn't missed a cut since the 2022 Masters, but he's certainly done a lot of work on his golf swing, and maybe that was the difference under pressure. When we're talking about the line is so minute, when we're talking about elite level golfers under the gun. And maybe this is one of the reasons the golf swing change that he's made with Chris Como. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Xander gets it done and doesn't finish second this time in this major championship. T-Dub, any thoughts on the swing changes from Xander since last year?
Oh, absolutely. The changes that he made cannot be understated, because with the pictures you sent last night, Sam, whenever you would slow-mo his own swing, it was kind of like a miniaturized version of Ricky Fowler's swing. It was outside, and then he would come in and lay it off. And then what that would do is that's a drastic change in plane. And then from there, it's really hard to get the club down in front of you where you need it. With it being as laid off as that is, it can make it, especially your longer shots, make it hard to control him. It's one of the things that Tiger struggled with when he went to Hank Haney, because his club was more laid off. It's one of the reasons why he struggled with the driver as much as he did. But also, as well, with the club being in better position, it allows him to generate a little bit more speed naturally from that. He's also has a better diet, and his training is a lot more strenuous, as he said, than it used to be. So those things have all added to a good amount of distance that he's gained. He's in the upwards of, he's over 120 club head speed, in the almost 125 sometimes, 123 average or so is what it looked like most of the time this week. And whenever you're doing that with how straight as he hits it, it's really hard not to put yourself in a whole lot of birdie positions, as we saw him do on Thursday when he shot the 9 under. So yeah, whenever you make changes like that too, it can take a while for you to get the belief that you need under pressure. It's one thing to do it on the range back at your home club whenever you're just first trying to get it figured out. Then you go to a regular tournament, you try to do it. Then you get on a Sunday at a regular tournament like he did last week at the Wells Fargo, and like he's done how many other times this year. And until you do it a few times, it's hard to get fully comfortable with these new positions because you revert back to what your body is traditionally used to. So as you mentioned, it was going to take time for it to occur, and he was going to get a win at some point. I'm just impressed that he was able to do it at a major championship. Maybe it helped that the course was a little bit easier, so it made it a little bit harder to struggle immensely down the stretch because you had to work fairly hard to make bogeys out there. But at the same time, with all the pressure on it to win your first major after those changes, very, very impressive.
I got to tell you guys, that golf course isn't that easy. I mean, I played it. I played it at majors. That golf course is not as easy as they made it look. I can't believe how low they shot, be perfectly honest with you guys. And they made it look easy. And I just don't think it's that easy. A golf course, it's just me, okay? That's just me. I thought it was a much harder golf course.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Anyone saying that a major championship shouldn't go back to Valhalla because of, you know, either the off-the-course stuff with Scheffler or because the scores were so low, Valhalla couldn't control either of those things. The reason why the scores were so low is because of the soft conditions, and I don't care if they're playing Bethpage Black, Woody. You can't hide pins from these guys when the conditions are that soft, right?
Well, you can't hide how far they hit it, Sam. Where they were driving the golf ball, I was looking at that going, are you kidding me? I mean, there were places that DeChambeau drove that golf ball. Literally, gentlemen, they were 100 and probably 10 yards further than I was hitting my driver when I played there in 2011, and it wasn't wet. I mean, I was thinking, that's not feasible where he's hitting this golf ball to. So, again, that golf course is a lot harder than it looked, but when you talk about Xander, I had no earthly idea his golf swing had changed as much as what it has. I didn't realize what they had accomplished, and during the time that they're doing it, he's not missing cuts. He's still being very competitive. So that was a mind-boggling, eye-opening thing to me that I thought, wow, that golf swing has really moved long ways, and he is really doesn't seem like he was affected by it by any way. So,
Woody, would any of those changes that he made, being less laid off or getting to parallel with the driver, would any of those changes help him under pressure? Or do you think that it was just, you know, technical things that helps him throughout the round, regardless of what the situation is?
Well, the one thing you see in the difference that he's making here is how stable his club face was, Sam. With the newer swing, the club face doesn't get near as out of sync, meaning when he laid it off before, he would tend to have to try to square the club because it would lay off and get what I call, you know, a little bit shot, believe it or not, when you lay it down like he would. And because his shoulders weren't turning quite as much,
that was under pressure. Those, all those things you're talking about, buddy, are what happens when, you know, we get a little nervous. So, yes, in a funny kind of way, where his turn is now and his takeaway, you saw him work on that on every swing. He took that little pre-shot where he takes the club away, trying to keep the face as stable as he could. It worked. I saw him hit what I call one kind of suspect drive that was on the second hole. He pulled it a little bit on the second hole, was down the rough to the left there by that creek. Other than that, I didn't see any swings that weren't spot on. So, yes, you're exactly right. That changes they are making made it a lot easier under pressure for him to be able to hit those good shots.
Speaking of changes, fellas, let's talk about a guy who I consider a changed man, a very likable man in Bryson DeChambeau. Shoots 20 under par, shoots a flawless 7 under par round on Sunday, 64 on the final day. Really the only, really only flaw I guess I could see on this card is the fact that he did par the par 5 seventh hole. But other than that, Bryson just played phenomenal golf. And on 18, he's sitting there thinks that, you know, if Xander makes par on 18, a birdie is going to get me into a playoff. And Bryson hits it up left of the green in the first cut of that rough, leaves his chip. It wasn't a bad pitch shot, but it was probably, what was it, fellas? About 10, 11 feet, the putt that he had, what he thought was to tie at the time. And then obviously Xander birdies 18 right behind him and closes him out. But awesome putt, barely sneaks over the front edge. And we got an awesome celebration like we got from Bryson all week. We also have videos of Bryson staying around to not only congratulate Xander Schauffele on his win, but sign autographs. We saw him toss a ball to a kid on number 9 that a guy stole and started running away from the kid. And Bryson runs this guy, not runs this guy down, but yells at this guy running away and says, bring that ball back to this kid, give it back to the kid. Bryson just could not be more likable to me right now. And fellas, he is must-watch TV. And yes, like Woody said, he's bombing the ball, hitting it from places that other guys just can't hit it from. And he's playing phenomenal golf. And I do want to remind people that when we talk about strength of schedule in these live events, since the Masters, Bryson's played in 2 live events where he finished 27th and 26th. That's one of the reasons why I didn't pick Bryson coming into this event, is he hadn't necessarily played great on live after the Masters, but he finishes solo second place at this PGA Championship. I think that goes to show that these live tournaments and their strength of field is a little stronger than some golf media might make it out to be, T-Dub.
Well, we saw it last year at Cedar Ridge up in Tulsa, which was really the first time that Bryson had started to get on a little bit of a run. He finished T5 at that event and not played particularly well. He had gone through his little bit of spell really since going over to LIV. But since that point, he's played some tremendous golf. He's won twice on LIV, did at the end of last year. And then even this year, even though he had those 2-4 finishes, as you alluded to, 27th and 26th, he finished 6th at the Masters, where he had a very roller coaster tournament. He had the hole out on 18 on the third round for a birdie, and he was in the final group on Saturday and then ended up finishing 6th down there. He finished 7th, 6th, 4th, and 9th in the other live events. He finished 25th in the first one at Mayakoba, but that course does not suit Bryson's game literally whatsoever. But yeah, it's crazy some of the places he can hit it, as y'all are alluded to. Whenever you can do that, you're gonna play a different golf course than the majority of the field does. It is an absolute superpower. Just to put it into perspective, he shot 7 under in the final round, but he eagled his last hole yet on Saturday. So he played his last 19 holes at 9 under par in a major championship. I don't care how soft the course is. That is absolutely stellar. And then another interesting thing to note is that he was 1 over on his first 5 holes of this golf tournament, guys. He started on 10, the par 5. He made a par there. He bogeyed number 12 and then didn't make a birdie until 15. So a very, very slow start for Bryson. At that point, you're thinking, well, everyone's out here making birdies in this first round. It's going to be hard to play catch up. But then after that, just goes on an absolute tear is what he does. So yeah, he found whatever he found in the last, really on the start of Saturday, Friday, he started playing good golf when he shot a 65 there. So only 2 bogeys in his last 67 holes of the tournament. A very, very impressive step from Bryson. Gained more than a shot on the greens, gained almost a full shot around the greens, which he had plenty of holeouts. He holed out on 7 in the, what was that, the first round, I believe? Yeah, yeah, he held out for eagle on 7 in the first round. He had the chip in on 18 on Saturday, and then he chipped in on, I believe it was 6 that he chipped in on Sunday. So his chipping was stellar, which is something that can be a nuisance with the length of wedges that he plays with, but gaining almost a shot and a half off the tee, gaining almost a full shot with the irons. Literally every aspect of Bryson's game was solid, and I think he has to be someone that you have to watch out for on a course like Pinehurst, Woody.
I tell you, there was one shot he hit, though, that I got to admit, I'm not a non-Bryson fan, but when he hit it, when Victor was trying to win, and he hit it off the trees on 16 out the day, in the middle of the fairway, I did something there. I got it.
That was extremely lucky.
That was so lucky. But
he took advantage of it, though.
Is a fact. So he took really advantage of it, and that's what I even said after he did it. I said, you know what, that's a true champion. When they get a break like that, they take advantage of it. And he made great three there, which gave him a chance to win the golf tournament. He actually, you know, on 6, because that was one of my nemesis when I played there. I hated that hole. I hit it over there in that right little bowl area where they were, and I'd try to hit a bump and run. Well, you know, Bryson actually putted that ball on Sunday. He putted it out of that hole to the right on 6 and made that. So that was a that was really cool to watch that. That he's trying – you know, he's very imaginative now, where it used to be just bomb and gouge. But now he's pretty good with his short game. So he will be a threat at Pinehurst. How much of one, we don't know. But what's crazy, you guys realize the irons that he's playing with are 3D irons. He made those irons.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 3D mold, those irons are. He had to get approved by the USGA, and they approved them. But, you know, I thought that the ghost gun baffled me, but this guy made his own set of irons, a 3D set of irons.
Now, and they have the bulge and roll, right, Woody, that drivers have?
Yes, they have a bulge and roll like our old drivers that we used to play with when we were kids had, yes. And so this guy's still a mad scientist. I don't care what you want to say about him. He is cutting edge. He is going to do what nobody else does. And It tends to work pretty good for him. But one thing you did learn from this, though, Sam, you too, D-Dub, we both know this. These guys all need to get back together and play golf together, because they're a hell of a lot more entertaining when we have all these guys together. I'm ready for these guys to get their heads out of the sand and figure this deal out, because we need all these guys playing in every golf tournament we can get them in. Period.
No doubt. And good on the PGA of America, you know, putting the LIV players in that weren't already exempt, like Burmester or Taylor Gooch. Both those guys made the cut. Burmester had a really solid week. But let's talk about the guy that I'm sure we were all rooting for, former Oklahoma State golfer Victor Hovland. Shoots 18 under for the golf tournament, 5 under on Sunday. His only blemish on the card was on 18 after he had already missed the putt to tie at that point, like similar to Bryson. If Victor would have made birdie, would have tied Xander at least in the moment before Xander went on to birdie 18 and then Javi 3 putts, but it doesn't matter. He still finishes solo third place by 3 shots over Thomas Dietrich and Colin Morikawa, who ended at 15 under. But Victor Hovland has really been struggling throughout the year. In his last 6 events before the PGA Championship, he had lost shots around the greens in all 6 of those events and wasn't really on anyone's radar to pick to win this golf tournament, because we didn't know one key piece of information, guys. We didn't know that he went on a secret mission to go back to his old coach, Joe Mayo, out in Las Vegas last week and said, "Fix me." It reminds me of the Happy Gilmore scene where he goes back to Chubbs and he goes, "I'm stupid, you're smart, you're attractive, I'm not." And Victor Hovland goes back to Joe Mayo. He says, "You know, try this, this, and this." And all of a sudden, back to FedEx Cup champion Victor Hovland. He's confident as ever. Not only does he hit the ball great this week, he gained shots around the greens and really played a flawless final round, fellas. I can't believe I'm saying this after the golf that Victor has played to start 2024, but he's my favorite to me at Pinehurst. I think I'm going to pick Victor Hovland to win the U.S. Open. And by the way, he's officially the best golfer without a major now that Xander's won one.
I would definitely concur with that, saying being the best player without a major at this point, but it would definitely happen soon. The question is just a matter of when, not a matter of if. And what's impressive about Victor is I'm going to exclude the three putt on 18 because it was literally meaningless, the par putt that he had. He did not make a bogey going all the way back to the 12th hole on Friday, which is very, very impressive. What is that? Almost 42 holes without a 41 holes without a bogey. That is, whenever you go back to your old coach and have a kumbaya, say, hey, I messed up. My game's has not been very good at all this year. What did his best finish be up until this point? 19th at the Genesis was his best finish. He finished 24th at the Wells Fargo. And as you mentioned, he gained shots around the greens, which was a very positive sign, something we had not seen going all the way back to 2023, the first time in the calendar year that we saw him gain shots chipping. So very good for Victor Hovland there. He hit the ball exceptionally well to go along with that. Gained 1.66 shots approach, and then gained more than a full shot off of the tee. And he putted very good as well, gaining almost a full shot there. The difference is that you look at Schauffele. Schauffele gained 1.2 shots gained putting. Bryson gained more than a full shot. Victor gained 0.66. So if you want to look back at the end of the day, that's going to be the difference, is that the guys that finished 1 and 2 made just a couple more putts throughout the tournament than Victor did.
Well, now, guys, I know you all maybe don't remember, but who did I pick at the very start of the year to win two majors this year?
Victor Hovland.
That would have been Victor Hovland, yes. And we all thought he's coming, he has got it, he's ready to roll, all those things. And then all of a sudden he went south. Well, like you guys said, we didn't know exactly what was going on, right? But now we do, and now we can say when it gets right down to it, hey, he might be the favorite. Like you said, Sam, I'm not sure I'm going to pick him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sure I'm going to go with him to win at Pinehurst.
Woody, let me say this. The favorite other than Scottie Scheffler. I think we have to say that going forward, but continue.
Or Xander Schauffele. Or Xander.
Not a bad point.
Xander ain't going to, you know, I don't know, guys. This is going to get fun is what I'm saying, but here's what's amazing to me is when Victor was working with Grant Waite, I didn't realize that Grant Waite and Mayo are at the same kind of place. They teach a lot of the same things. But for some reason, I see this all the time when I'm teaching also, guys, just so you know this. T-Dub could say something to somebody, and I could say something to somebody, and they sound like the same thing, but the student listens to me and doesn't listen to T-Dub. Or vice versa. And I see it all the time, guys. I might say on a certain swing, I see something. I might try three different ways to say it before the student goes, oh, yeah, now that makes sense. And I'm thinking, well, it's the same thing I said earlier. You know what I mean? And like I said, it'll drive you crazy as a teacher, but I get this. Mayo, for some reason, just clicks with Victor. I mean, he just does. And congratulations to Victor. For a lot of guys are stubborn, man. A lot of guys are stubborn. Look how long it took Ricky Fowler to go back to Butch, okay? And these guys that are really stubborn, sometimes it's their worst enemy. Sometimes you just got to go, you know what? I need to go back to the guy that I was clicking with and stay with him. But when you watch Victor play, I've got to admit to you guys, it looked like the guy that I took film of last year in October, right after he won the Tour Championship. The golf swing looked so good. He looked like he was so confident with that golf swing. And I guess when you're world-class like these guys are, everybody goes, "What? How the hell could he do that?" It's real simple. They're just extremely talented. I mean, they really are. And if they get their mind in the right frame, there's nothing they can't do, and you just saw it. We none of us liked him, right? And then I thought, holy cow, he might come back and win this thing. That's going to make me look real smart in January, but not so smart with Shopley this week. But as it worked out, first and third, that's pretty amazing that those guys did what they did. Cool tournament. Anybody didn't like that golf tournament? I know, Sam, that you thought they shot too low, and I agree, they did. But it was a soft golf course. But anybody that didn't like that golf, man, I don't know. Then you don't need to be watching golf, because that was exciting golf.
No, I didn't think that they shot too low. It was not because of the golf course, I'll say. It was just the perfect storm of no wind and a soft golf course. I actually like Valhalla. It just sets up for fireworks at the end, which, given the leaderboard that we had at the time, we really needed a hole or two coming down the stretch where Xander could make a bogey, and there was really only holes for guys to make birdies on coming down the stretch. Do you see what I'm saying, T-Dub? So I would give this week, I would give Valhalla, like, you know, a B minus or a B based on how the week went, but a lot of the problems that Valhalla had, or, you know, the non-screw-ups by guys up at the top had nothing to do with Valhalla. It was just the weather conditions and the fact that you had a world-class leaderboard, and that's something that we have to give Valhalla credit for, is you have Xander, DeChambeau, and Hovland, and Morikawa all in your top five. It couldn't have been that bad, T-Dub, so I'm giving it a B.
I'm going to be a little bit more generous. I'm going to give it – I'm giving it an A-minus. I thought it was a tremendous tournament. Look at Valhalla. It's hosted three PGA championships at this point. We had the 2000 Tiger Bob May, one of the best majors – that the history of the game has ever seen. We had the 2014 PGA where Rory beats Phil Mickelson coming down the stretch in the dark. And now you have Xander Schauffele beating Bryson and Victor, who all three of these players are going to look back on in 20 years and say that they were great greats of this era. So I think we're going to look back on this tournament and even more fame than we even are now. So, and then not to mention Valhalla was the course in 2008 where the U.S. won the Ryder Cup on to break a long, what was that, 9-year trend of not winning. So I absolutely love Valhalla. I think it's a great course. I think if there's any change they could maybe make the fairways a yard or two narrower on each side. I think that would simplify it, or maybe make the bring in the second cut a little bit more, because a lot of balls rolled into that first cut, and that's fairly not that difficult to play from. If you can make it that second cut, because there's a lot of times where if you got wayward off, you were in some gnarly shit, man. It was very, very hard, especially if you were inside of 100 yards trying to hit some of those shots through there. So, yeah, I think there's ways you could even make it a little bit tougher. But at the end of the day, it was the fact that it was just soft. It had rained around there. And then when you get no wind, these guys are just going to fire at every flag. Even though it is a 7,600-yard par 71 course, you can make it 8,600 yards, and these guys would still light it up.
Yeah, they're going to light it up. And I'll just tell you guys, the dryness, if that golf course is dry, because I played it when it was dry, and that ball would roll out. Those fairways are a lot more tilted, and that ball will roll into the rough. So, granted, I mean, it was a dart throwing contest, but they still got to hit those shots, and that was what's the most amazing thing to me, is how good they were. Although, I will say this, after watching this weekend, and watching, I'm going to pick on one guy here, Morikawa needs to get a putting lesson. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it doesn't look that bad. But on Sunday, what, he hit the first 12 greens in a row and didn't make a putt, two-putted them all.
That, like he missed that. Missed number two, but other than that, he hit every other green. So he hit 8 greens on the front and 8 greens on the back. He hit 16 of 18 greens and shot the worst score on Sunday of anyone in the top 10.
Well, they said this was a funny stat. They said that when he won the PGA out in San Francisco, he had 25 putts the last round. On Sunday at Valhalla, he had 25 putts, I think, by the time he reached the 14th hole.
That's amazing.
Or the 12th hole. It was some, holy cow, it was something so stupid you can't believe. And you know what, T-Dub, I meant to tell you this before your guys' time. They also had a major there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was 96 when Mark Brooks beat Kenny Perry in a playoff.
Oh, that was a
crusher.
That was when Kenny Perry went to the booth and they ridiculed him because instead of going to the Range of the World, he went and talked with whoever the commentator.
And Kenny Perry was from Kentucky. It was going to be the homeboy wins. And Brooks, I think, birdied the last hole to get in the playoff. And it was just a heartbreaker. I mean, I was just sick for Kenny Perry because Kenny Perry's such a good dude. But there was another one that was just everything they've ever had at Valhalla has been exciting. I'll just say that.
No doubt. Good points on Colin Morikawa. Like I said, Thomas Dietrich also shoots 5-under to sneak into that top five. Let's talk about the guy who got arrested during the golf tournament. Scottie Scheffler shoots 6 under par on Sunday to finish the golf tournament at 13 under par and sneak into the top 10 after a very rough Saturday, where not only was he coming off getting arrested and everything that he had to go through when he shot 5 under on Friday, but fellas, he did not have Ted Scott. And Ted Scott had to go to his daughter's graduation back home and missed Saturday with Scotty. Scotty had the tour chaplain who went to Pepperdine, play golf at Pepperdine, but not having, in my opinion, the best caddy on the PGA Tour currently on the bag for you. I think that hurt Scottie Scheffler early on Saturday, where he double number two and then bogeyed 3 and 4 and just didn't really ever get settled into that round. I think that I would chalk up Scottie Saturday to more of not having Ted Scott than I would of coming off the hangover of, you know, getting arrested and everything on Friday. I think that Ted Scott was the reason why Scottie Scheffler didn't win this golf tournament, to be honest.
I think it was the timing of when Ted Scott left was massively important, because you look at everything that transpired on Friday, and Scottie's able to go out there. He's pretty much just running off adrenaline to be able to go out and shoot that 66. Very impressive what he did. But on Saturday, you have the full night to sleep on everything. He has a fairly late tee time, so you have the whole morning to think. He was on the phone with his lawyer in the morning, so you're not using your normal routine there. Plus, you don't have your caddy, who really, since Ted Scott went to Scheffler, that's when he went on his massive tear. Like, he had an integral part of the success that he's had. So you look at the rounds that Scheffler shot with Ted Scott on the bat, 67, 66, and 65 in the final round. And what is the outlier? The 73 in the third round, where he doubled number two, bogeys 3 and 4, throws in 2 birdies at 5 and 7. Looks like he might start to get it back, but then proceeds to bogey every par three on the entire course that day. Both made all bogeys on the par threes. That is something you do not see from what is traditionally the best iron player in the game of golf. Looking at his stats in that round, he lost almost 2 shots around the greens and lost a full shot on the greens, and hit the ball absolutely horrible. Actually lost shots with the irons and off the tee in that third round. So every single thing with Scheffler was horrible on that Saturday. And like I said, everything just accumulated together to result in him having a horrible round on Saturday. A lot of people would have thought it would happen on Friday with everything he went through, but it was just delayed a day. So yeah, it's not for the Scottie fans out there who won't like it. But in all honesty, if you would have said, hey, you're going to get arrested on Friday and you're still going to finish top 10 in a major, it's really not that bad.
It's only Scottie Scheffler can do that. And yes, I agree with you guys. I think Ted not being there, but it was the perfect storm. I think what you said is so true, T.W. I think he played on adrenaline on Friday. He was still kind of semi in shock, and he just went about his business and just tried to make the most of it. I thought some of the comments I heard from the gallery were just pitiful. The fact they already had T-shirts with his mugshot on them was just pitiful. But I mean, give him credit for, you know, being Scottie Scheffler. He never changed his demeanor. He has not badmouthed anybody in Kentucky. He has not badmouthed any of the police. He's spoken highly of all of them. And you know what? I think, I don't care who you are, he has had a hell of a roller coaster. Let's not forget he just had a child. Okay, guys? That's another thing.
Yeah, before the golf tournament, we were talking about, is the baby going to be an off-the-course distraction? I didn't know his caddy was going to leave him and he was going to get arrested.
Arrested? Hell no. We didn't know any of that. So the bottom line on all of this, I don't know if you heard part of Xander's press conference. I listened to it this morning. I'll tell you how dominating Scottie Scheffler is. Xander Schauffele just won the PGA, broke free finally of this anchor that he's had around his neck. Not only did he close out a tournament, he closed out a major. And yet, in his press conference, he talked about, I'm still not even close to Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is starting to get the same type of persona that Tiger Woods had with all those Ernie Els and Mickelsons and all those guys that were trying to beat him. When a Xander Schauffele will tell you point blank in a press conference, I'm still not even close to being as good as Scottie Scheffler is. Guys, that says a lot to me, because pros don't usually brag on other pros. That's not something they do. So this means a lot that this Scottie Scheffler is building this image that a lot of these guys are looking at like going, oh, crap, if he's on the board, what are we going to do? How are we going to beat him? So I guess you get him arrested and he has a baby. That's the only way you beat this guy.
And he still finished top eight in the golf tournament. T-Dub and I on the Saturday radio show, we're talking about our thoughts on the actual arrest of Scottie Scheffler. I haven't heard your thoughts. It sounds to me like you're in agreement with us that it was a massive misunderstanding. I mean, we could sit here and go through the whole situation, but he's sitting right outside the gates, obviously at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:09. There was a fatal accident where a shuttle bus hit a pedestrian. We later find out that the pedestrian was a vendor at the golf course going to work. Just absolutely tragic situation. But then Scottie shows up to the golf course, you know, 20 minutes later, and the road's blocked off. And we heard other players go into the median to turn left about 30 yards ahead, not in the same crime scene as the shuttle bus. Clearly, there was two sets of police officers there that weren't communicating. Apparently, one cop said, yes, Scottie, go down the left side. Another detective, Gillis, as we find out, did not get that message and then overreacts, in my opinion, pulls Scottie Scheffler out of the car. And here's my whole thing about it, Woody, is that people are acting like, why should Scottie Scheffler get preferential treatment? He had to have preferential treatment to even get into that gate in the first place for being the number one player in the world or any player in that golf tournament. You have a player pass, just show the cop the player pass, say I'm Scottie Scheffler. But obviously this cop was overreacting too much, threw him up against the cop car and arrested him. And, you know, 2 hours later, he's back on the golf course. But Woody, I thought it was just a massive misunderstanding. And I got to tell you, my jaw was on the floor on Friday morning when he would be the last guy on the PGA Tour I would ever suspect. Great Christian guy. I know him, growing up with him. Never a bad word said about Scottie Scheffler by anybody. I honestly feel terrible for him that situation might have cost him a major championship considering how good he was playing.
And only Scottie Scheffler will take this on with a grain of salt and go, you know what? I don't feel like I did anything wrong. If you listen to the ESPN guy that was the one that got out, that actually walked out to the one cop, said, hey, 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 and that cop said, you don't move, you stay back, he's going to jail. I mean, nobody, Scottie Scheffler didn't tell him he was Scottie Scheffler. The ESPN guy didn't say, hey, that's Scottie Scheffler you're arresting. Nobody said anything. And great for Scottie that he just, I think he was in shock. I mean, I can't imagine getting pulled out of a car and cuffed that quickly is what it all went down. Now, if you listen to what the ESPN guy said, it was a major misunderstanding because they were in a row and Scottie went around them to the left. And that guy, that ESPN guy, at that point, the cop that was stopping them ran over to him and said, no, whoa, 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 where are you going? And he said, basically, I'm going where that guy told me to. Now, there is a little bit of discrepancy. Did Scottie drag him or did this guy trip and fall? I don't know. The bottom line that we should all learn from this, every one of us should learn from this, okay? If the cop tells you to stop, stop. If the cop tells you to get out of the car, get out of the car. Okay?
That's right.
That society we live in now does not do that.
That's
Scottie
correct.
Scheffler, he behaved exactly the way you're supposed to behave. Should he have been arrested, Sam? No way in God's green earth should they have arrested him. This policeman, this detective, this was part of our problem. This guy was a lieutenant. He's a little bit higher up than your beat cop, okay, that gets his, you know, fur in a dander, so to speak. And once he's pissed off, then all gloves are off. Then Scottie's going to jail. I thought it was so amusing. Do you realize they didn't know who they had until he got all the way to the police station? And there was one policeman that looked at him and said, oh, my God, do you all know who that is? All these cops that are working this golf tournament,
do not know who the number one player in the world even is. It wasn't until Scotty got to the police station that they actually, somebody recognized him. The whole time Scotty was in the car for 20 minutes before they went to take him and book him, talking to the cop. At no time did Scotty Scheffler even say to him, hey, by the way, I'm actually playing in this tournament. My name's Scotty Scheffler. If you'd like to Google me, I think it'll pop right up. Nobody did any of that. It wasn't until he got to the police station that there was, and there was only one guy in there that looked at him and goes, oh my God, you guys know who that is.
And then he gets in there and he's watching himself on Get Up, the ESPN show in the morning, basically trying to do the math on if he's going to make his tee time. And so he starts doing his pre-round stretches in a jail cell. But what he, the last thing I wanted to point out to people, if you didn't do your research on this subject, number one, it was totally dark in the morning and pouring down rain. And number two, the cops were wearing these outfits basically that looked like construction outfits that only said police on the back. So there's a chance that Scotty could have thought it was a volunteer that was trying to open his door, or, you know, some other official. If you've ever been to a major championship, you know there's a ton of officials and people that look official standing outside the gates of these tournaments that aren't necessarily police officers, you know? So, and by the way, even if Scotty did drag this guy, it said 15 to 20 yards. That's like two car lengths. You know what I mean? Like, he clearly stopped right after the fact, you know? And that's when he stopped, he pulled him out.
10 yards.
Yeah, which is literally nothing.
10 yards. 30 feet. And that's why the one ESPN guy said, it looked like to me that he didn't get dragged. He just stumbled and fell down and scuffed his elbow and tore his pants up. So, you know, again, Sam, it was a perfect storm. It was a total misunderstanding. The simple fact that they are still trying, now that you're going to report, I know you're going to tell me this, that they're going to make him go back for an arraignment on supposedly June 3rd. This is the most asinine thing I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, this prosecutor from Louisville saying we're not going to treat Scotty Scheffler any different than our citizens. Well, Scotty Scheffler should have been treated differently than the citizens. Otherwise, nothing would have happened in the first place, because you're supposed to treat the players who are trying to get in the gate 30 yards ahead differently than people that are just going to the golf tournament that can't get there because the road's blocked off. T-Dub, this whole situation kind of is getting to the point where it's infuriating me, because some people just don't understand what the actual situation was. Scotty Scheffler literally did nothing wrong, in my opinion.
And you throw in the fact that the cop didn't have a body cam, which now everyone's supposed to have, and he somehow didn't work or didn't have it, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I don't see how this can, anything can go much deeper than him having to show up in Louisville for really stupid reasons. And that's actually one thing that sucks too, is distracts from the fact of someone died from getting hit by a bus. I mean, that's a pretty sad deal, man. And then you have the cops out there trying to get all that figured out, and then they apparently assume that someone's just like, screw y'all, I want to go watch this golf, so I'm going to zoom past y'all, not realizing it's the number one golfer in the world when it happens. And then one thing that's interesting about it is, if Scotty had gone out and won this tournament, had he done this, he would have elevated his name so much to the ranks. He would have been a living legend for being able to get arrested and still win a major championship. That would have been what the PGA Tour and what Scotty needed to be able to elevate himself to where, for example, like you said earlier, the cops didn't recognize him until someone an hour or so later, whenever they took him there, realized who he was. Would that happen to Tiger Woods? I think as soon as it would happen, I said, oh shit, that's Tiger. Yeah, let's go ahead and not do this.
No, I get your point there, T-Dub, but at the same time, we got the greatest day in golf Twitter history. So, I mean, I think that Scotty's pretty damn popular already. Two-time Masters winner.
It's 100%.
Well, he's going to be real popular now. Yeah, this could have put, I can promise you, this looks ugly. It is bad. It's horrible, but this is going to push Scotty Scheffler to another level, because anybody that knows anything about golf, and anybody that doesn't know anything about golf, they saw this or heard about it. You know, like
my lovely bride, she does not even give a crap about golf, even though she's married to a golfer, okay? Even her was on every page she could to read about it to go, how could they do this? What were they thinking? How is this possible? And she's even trying to figure out everything she can. So this was not the best publicity you look for, but when it's all said and done, it's going to make Scottie Scheffler just that much more of an entity that people are going to want to watch. I really think this is a plus.
The only thing to compare it to, guys, would be like if the cops arrested Patrick Mahomes going into the Super Bowl or something like that. Like, or if the cops arrested Nikola Jokic on his way to the NBA Finals or something like that. I mean, could you imagine? It just doesn't happen ever. I mean, I was just shocked by the whole situation. But Scottie does play well on Sunday. Woody, I know you got to leave us, but the last few guys that I want to talk to you about are all from Oklahoma. I mean, the Oklahoma guys had a great week. You had Taylor Moore finish tied for 12th in the golf tournament. Former golfer at Edmond Memorial, then played his college golf at Arkansas. Friend of the show here. He finishes tied for 12th with Rory and Dean Burmester at 12 under par, along with Sahith Theegala. But T. Moore at 12 under, tied for 12th. And then you had Austin Eckroat finish top 20, tied for 18th at 11 under par. You had Taylor Gooch make the cut in the event as well. And we already talked about Victor Hovland. Very successful week for the state of Oklahoma at Valhalla.
Now, here's a question for you, Sam. Now, I don't know this. I need to find this out because I saw Austin today. I thought at Oak Tree National, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Rumor has it that he and Will Zalatoris and one other pro walked two miles into Valhalla that morning.
Yes.
Because they couldn't get through the gate.
That's true.
Okay?
That's so true.
You know, that's so cool, though. I was so proud of them that they were able to play at that high level in a great tournament in a major. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, dude. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? So I think that we're seeing something in Oklahoma we haven't seen in a while. I really believe this. Between all these guys we got playing now, I think we're going to have that Oak Tree gang again that's going to be over the top how good they're going to be. I really do. I'm just so excited for all those guys because they're young, they're talented, and they got the world by the tail. This PGA Tour is growing by leaps and bounds, and they're going to love what they got for a job for a long time.
And T-Dub, don't look now, but our man T. Moore has finished top 20 in the first two majors of 2024.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive stuff for our man T. Moore. What is he on? Is this his third year on the PGA Tour now? Yeah, so he's just now, that's the point. You got a lot to learn whenever you get out there. He's just now getting his stride after this point. So yeah, he had the second place finish earlier this year at Houston. He obviously won the Valspar back in 2023. He finished 12th there this year, 12th in, as you said, top 20s in both the major championships. Very, very stellar stuff. I look for a team more to have an even better into 2024 as to what he's building on now. He's currently 50th in the FedEx Cup standings. So if he can get up into the top 30, be able to get to the Tour Championship, that would be absolutely monumental. Currently the 48th player analytically. So top 50 player in the world, I think, with what we saw growing up, Sam. I don't think that's much of a shock because we know the absolute talent that our man T. Moore has.
No doubt. Hey, Woody, final thoughts on you picking the winner of this PGA Championship. Congrats one more time on picking Xander Schauffele.
Well, the only problem is I didn't make a bet in Vegas on it, Sam. So I must not have thought I was that good with it. But to be honest with you, that was inevitable. That was going to come. I just got lucky and just picked him that week and thinking that golf course set up good for him and he's ready to win one. So the golf gods were in his favor and they were in mine for that one week.
Good stuff. That's Jim Woodward from Oak Tree National and Master Handicapper of the Year on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. You can listen to us on golfoklahoma.org. Go look at all the great stories Kim McLeod and Chris Swofford are putting up on golfoklahoma.org. And you can also listen to every single one of our podcasts and radio shows on the sportsanimal.com and the Sports Animal app. When we come back, what he's going to leave us, but T-Dub and I are going to finish out the show talking about the Colonial coming up this week, the Charles Schwab coming up in Fort Worth this coming weekend. One more time, thanks, Woody. T-Dub and I will be back after the break here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Podcast. We would like to welcome in a new sponsor to the 73rd Hole Podcast, Jimmy Austin Golf Club in Norman, Oklahoma. If you have any Sooner apparel needs or apparel needs in general, this is the golf shop to go to. Jimmy Austin Golf Shop has been rated as the top merchandising facility in all of the South Central section 5 out of the last 7 years. In addition to their phenomenal pro shop, Jimmy Austin is also going to be hosting a Korn Ferry event again this year, the Compliance Solutions Championship. On June 20th through the 23rd, you can come out to Jimmy Austin and see the stars of the future on the PGA Tour competing in the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. I also want to encourage all of our listeners out there to go out to Jimmy Austin and play some golf. It's one of, if not the best, public facility in Oklahoma, and it always ranks in the top 5 best courses in Oklahoma to play golf. So if you want to play like a champion, next time you're booking your tee time, remember, there's only one Jimmy Austin Golf Club.
Hey everyone, T-Dub here. I want to take a second to tell you about my good friends at McCray Roofing. Not too long ago, my roof was in desperate need of repair. There was extensive hail damage and I had many leaks that needed attention. Not only did Jeff and his staff build me a new roof, but they walked me through step-by-step of the claims process, which is something that I was very, very concerned about. Everything from the initial inspection of the roof to analyze all the damage to meeting with the insurance adjuster to make sure they were aware of every damaged area, making sure my claim was accurate. Their custom copper creations are truly beautiful and add a great touch to any roof. Not only do they do residential roofs, but they have an elite list of commercial customers, including Gallardia Country Club, Oak Tree National, and Bass Pro Shops. Check out their website at McCrayRoofing.com to view some of their work yourself and give them a call at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000.
We'd like to welcome in our newest sponsor for the 24 season, Allcom Security. They're located in Midwest City. It's an Oklahoma-based company by Oklahomans. If you have any alarm needs, whether it's home or business, or what they have now that I am fascinated by, and I think you would be too, they're OKC security trailers. These trailers aren't just your average surveillance units. They're equipped with cutting-edge technology that can distinguish between humans and vehicles. Imagine that. With precise accuracy, these trailers detect any unwanted activity on your property, whether it's a person wandering where they shouldn't be or a vehicle creeping around after hours. It's like having a vigilant guardian watching over your domain. I have personally seen these units, and they are amazing. So if you have any alarm needs, please call my good friends at Allcom Security, 405-732-9000, or just look them up on the web, Allcom Security.
And we are back here on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Sam Humphreys, Taylor Williams with you in this last segment to round things out. T-Dub, I want to get your final thoughts here on the PGA Championship. We mentioned that Xander Schauffele not only holds the single-round scoring record in a major championship, but the 72-hole record as well. But he also joins this list of players who led or co-led after every single round of a PGA Championship in the last 40 years. Nick Price, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Jimmy Walker did do it at Baltusrol back in 2016, and then you have Brooks Koepka and then Xander Schauffele this year. That's a pretty solid list of golfers to lead wire to wire at the PGA Championship. T-Dub, what are your thoughts on that and thoughts on Xander throughout this week to kind of wrap it up before we talk about Colonial?
It was just crazy how great of golf that he had been playing without being able to win in 2 years. You're thinking, there has to be something going on between the ears for him not to win. Even him going through the swing changes that he was going through, you'd think that you would still, how good he was playing, you would get at least one win in there. And he had plenty of opportunities, just wasn't able to get it done. As I mentioned first segment, it's pretty impressive that he was able to get that done at a major championship to get his first one. Very, very impressive stuff. I think that the PGA Championship, as we've discussed numerous times, I think it tries to hold up as the best field of any tournament throughout the calendar year. I think from top to bottom, it definitely was that this year. Some guys had opportunities that didn't do it. We already mentioned Morikawa earlier. I think his final round was a massive disappointment, how bad he putted. He lost more than 3.5 shots on the green, Sam, in that final round. That is just atrociously bad, especially with as many greens as he was hitting. We mentioned the Oklahoma guys earlier. A guy we didn't mention was Alex Noren. He shot 6-under in the final round, and he finished T12. He's quietly up to the 18th ranked player analytically. So another OSU boy getting move up in the rankings. Very impressive stuff to see. And then we hadn't really talked about this much, Sam, but the fact that Tiger had such a poor performance, I think that even as big a fans as we are, I think we just have to, if he has one more shining light in him, it would be a beautiful thing to see. But it's going to have to take probably it being at the Masters and it probably being an absolutely perfect storm, as perfect of a storm as it was for Scottie Scheffler to not win this tournament with him getting arrested. It's going to take the exact opposite of that for Tiger to continue going forward, because not only, at least his body didn't look horrible in the two rounds that he played, but the golf that he played was absolutely horrible, Sam.
Yeah, and now Tiger in his last 8 starts, he's gone withdraw, miscut, 45th, withdraw, 18th out of 20, withdraw, 60th, and now miscut. So, I don't know. To me, Father Time catches up to everybody is something that it would just be easy to say from a 10,000-foot view, but also, I don't care if he's completely healthy. You just can't step on the first tee at Augusta National and then your next start be on the first tee at the PGA Championship. Even if he's fully healthy, he has to play more, T-Dub.
100%. That's definitely right. He's not able to get the repetitions. Even on Tuesday, his press conference, he said that he wished his game was a little bit more sharp coming in. He's not able to do that playing at home and not getting in the tournament reps that you need. So, yeah, it's unfortunately, it is a sad thing to see for Tiger, and he used to be one of the best iron players in the game. You watched him at Southern Hills a couple of years ago, and he just absolutely flushes everything. And in his last, 10 tournaments he's been able to play, he's only gained shots with the irons one time or twice, I guess, in there, which is, and the times around there, he's not only just lost shots with the irons, but it's been more than a shot, which is absolutely crazy for the thing where Tiger was at one point in his game. He's also not a very good putter anymore. In his last 8 tournaments, only 2 of them he's gained shots on the green. Same with the short game, only 2 of those he's gained shots there. Really, the best part of his game in his last few tournaments, Sam, has been his driving, which you would think that, oh, if Tiger could drive the ball well, everything else should be able to take care of itself. But unfortunately, not being able to play, as you're alluding to, is a massive thing in this, because what he said earlier, even though they were shooting 21 under par at Valhalla to win it, it is not that easy of a course. It's not like a 6,000-yard goat ranch that we have out here in some obscure town in Oklahoma where you can go shoot a 65 like it's nothing. This is legit. A 7,600-yard, even though it's soft, it is a difficult course out there. So if you're not have repetitions with how good these players are now, there's no way that you're going to be able to do it, especially the fact that you have to beat every single one of them in a week. You might be able to beat a few of them here or there, but to beat every single one of them in a week, especially we have Scottie Scheffler here getting arrested still finishing top 10 without Schauffele's playing. We just came off Rory shooting 19 under at Quail Hollow. Bryson doing what he's doing now with the driver. There's no way to keep up with him.
No, you're exactly right. And we haven't talked about my pick, unfortunately, yet in this show either. And we're about an hour into the show. That means I made not the best pick in the world, but he didn't play terrible. He just didn't compete to win the golf tournament, you know, not in contention late on Sunday. That's Rory McIlroy. He finished tied for 12th at 12 under par, shoots 4 under in the final round to kind of backdoor that top 12 a little bit. And you also had Justin Thomas shoot 3 under in the final round to finish 13 under, tied for 8th place in the golf tournament. Two of the bigger names right there. What were your thoughts on Rory and JT playing at home?
Oh, Rory comes out and shoots the 5 under in the first round. Schauffele shoots the 9 under, but you're thinking he's within 4. He's going to have a chance to win this tournament. The even par he shot in the second round is really what derailed him coming down. And then even in the third round, he had a lot of momentum. He bogeys the first hole. He's one over through three, but then he birdies four, then he comes out and birdies four holes in a row, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And then from there, you think he'll get it rolling, but he plays one over in those final eight holes on Saturday with his only birdie there being on 18. He bogeys 14 and 16 coming in, which was not very good. And then he made three bogeys yesterday and had a slew of birdies. But yeah, there he was playing catch up at that point. As for JT, you look at him on the week, he lost almost a full shot on the greens. That's just been continued to be an Achilles heel for JT, has been the putting. Every single other aspect, he gained more than a shot off the tee, gained almost a full shot with the irons, and he gained more than a shot around the green. So absolutely, if JT had been able to putt anywhere close to the guys up at the top, he would have been right there neck and neck with these guys. The putter definitely let JT down for sure. He went bogey free in the final round, shooting a 3 under 68, but just wasn't able to get any momentum going. Had a few opportunities to maybe get it up in the 15-16 range, but once again, he, with how bad he had putted the first few days, he was trying to play catch up with those lead dogs, because to go 21 under, same, you got to hit the ball good, but you also got to be able to roll the rock in. You saw JT putt horribly on for the whole tournament. You saw Morikawa putt absolutely atrociously on Sunday. So for two of the better ball strikers in the game, definitely a crutch that they're going to have to, as continuously as it's been a broken record for them now, try to get something figured out with the flat stick.
No doubt. And then we mentioned before the tournament, one of the big three favorites headed into the event, we said it was Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Brooks Koepka. We probably should have been talking about Xander, but we weren't. But we were talking about Brooks in that group. Brooks ends up shooting 9 under par, 5 under on the final round to finish tied for 26th. What are your thoughts on what you saw from Brooks Koepka this week?
Well, Brooks goes out and he shoots 4 under in the first round. One of my one and done picks. I was sitting very, very pretty there. I thought, okay, well, he's right where he needs to be to make a little bit of a move. And then on Friday, he makes he bogeys the first hole, but then comes out and birdies 4 more holes on the front nine to get in 3 under. So he's got a lot of momentum going. Double bogeys number 10, an absolutely atrocious double. And then he birdies 11, 12, and 15 coming in, and then makes bogeys on 16 and 17. It was just a complete roller coaster ride from Brooks. And then the golf he played on Saturday was absolutely atrocious. He shoots a 3 over 74. And that includes his only 2 birdies on the round. We're in 17 and 18. So he finished birdie, 2 under the last 2, and still shoots 3 over. He bogeys 1, double bogeys 5, bogeys 9, and bogeys 12 with no birdies from 1 through 16. A nice bounce back on Sunday to come up and make a little bit of a check. But definitely, Sam, the roller coaster he had with a few miscues on Friday and then the atrociously bad round on Saturday is definitely what held Brooks from having any chance to win this tournament.
Well, T-Dub, I thought it was a great PGA Championship. I know we've got Woody's final thoughts. I thought that it was just a very entertaining finish. Obviously, I was rooting for Hovland, and really, I thought Bryson became a fan favorite this week, and I've been a fan of Bryson, really, and I'll tell this story one more time. When I was in college, I think it was, or late in high school, it was when the Trans Miss was out at Southern Hills. And I'm playing in the Transmiss. They have the banquet that night. And I get sat at the table with Bryson DeChambeau and a bunch of other guys from SMU. I knew my guy, Dragan Majors. And I was sitting by him and Bryson sitting there at the table. And I just thought that Bryson was super cocky, unlikable. Couldn't have been, you know, more egotistical, I guess I would put it. But then last year at Live Tulsa, we got the opportunity to interview Bryson and talk to him quite a bit throughout that week. And I'm going, who is this guy? This is a completely different guy. And I kept telling people, this is a new likable Bryson. And I feel like the world, really even at the Masters, but especially this week, is realizing that Bryson has changed. He is likable. He does have a YouTube channel that's cool to watch now. He does, you know, a lot of nice things off the course, and he's not just all about Bryson anymore. And it just seems like he is one of the needle movers in the game of golf, and I could not be happier that the world is realizing that Bryson is good for this game.
Oh, Sam, I could not agree more with that. Whenever I was following Bryson younger on in his career, I'm thinking, yeah, this guy's a little bit cocky. He's a little bit quirky, and I think he's the mad scientist, right? Which sometimes you have great experiments, and you have failed experience. He tried side-saddling putting for a while. That's how chaotic he tries to go sometimes with his crazy inventions. But one thing I love about Bryson was yesterday in his post-round press conference, he's just like, I need to go get better. He's not out there making excuses or anything. He's not blaming anyone else for not winning. He's like, I got to go get better. And that's something that he looks in the mirror and says, yeah, I hit a lot of great shots this week. I had some miscues. But at the end of the day, I had a great chance to win this tournament. I didn't get it done. I need to make up for those two shots. And that's why I think he's going to be motivated and play tremendously well at Pinehurst going forward. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think Bryson has – it's been a great thing for Liv, for Bryson to play as well as he has and be the needle mover as he is. So we'll see how he does in the final two majors going forward. One thing I want to mention about the PGA before we move on to the Colonial is that our man TG didn't necessarily have his best week, but he did make the cut in a major championship, getting the exemption, one of the late exemptions in. So good thing to see TG get four rounds in at the tournament. For the tournament, he gained more than a shot on the greens. Really, his Achilles heel was he didn't drive the ball well, lost a little bit of shots there, and then lost almost a full shot around the greens. So TG able to play the four rounds, good thing to see. Being a lot of really good players, so please, haters on Twitter, don't try to come and say TG shouldn't have gotten an exemption because he finishes down at the bottom of the guys that made the cut, because there's a lot of really great players who did not make the cut, and hopefully, as it deserves, TG gets in more majors going forward.
No doubt. I mean, not only did he beat some of these good names like, you know, Siwoo Kim, Ricky Fowler, Cam Young, Cam Smith, Tyrrell Hatton that made the cut, but he also beat guys like John Rahm and Ludvig Åberg, who obviously has been dealing with that injury. Clear that he was not the same Ludvig Åberg we saw at the Masters. T-Dub, last thing, if I gave you Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler in these last two major championships and I got the field, would you take that bet?
I would not. No, I'm pretty bullish on Bryson at Pinehurst. I think that, like I said, he's going to be motivated from the things that I heard and how close he was. And the great golf that he's been playing, he did get really lucky on that break on 16. But, yeah, he's driving the ball so far, and I think he's going to have a good strategy for that course. So it's not an insane bet whatsoever, because we know the run the Scheffler's been on. And Schauffele, as we alluded to, this might be the absolute floodgate that he needs to be able to rattle off some wins. But you mentioned Victor Hovland. I think he has a great chance at Pinehurst as well. And then the Open Championship of being at Troon this year, and with the weather, who knows what could happen there. You could be eliminated from the tournament based on what time you're supposed to tee off, a lot of variables in that equation. So not a bad bet whatsoever, but no, I would 100% take it.
T-Dub going with the field, but it is getting to the point where you are seeing, at least analytically, Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele separate themselves from the rest of the golf world. It's going to be exciting to see moving forward. Speaking of Scottie Scheffler, he will be in action this week in Fort Worth at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, one of the PGA Tour players' favorite courses. If you surveyed 100 PGA Tour players, they would have Riviera in their top five, and almost all of them would have Colonial in their top five. It's just a classic, what you see is what you get golf course. And Scottie Scheffler is your overwhelming favorite this week. Has a 24.9% chance to win the golf tournament. Scottie, excuse me, also finished second here back in 2022. He finished third last year in 2023 on this golf course and really didn't putt well either of those weeks. So if Scottie putts well this week, I would assume he would have a great chance to win. Your other top five favorites this week are Colin Morikawa, Harris English, Jordan Spieth, Max Homa, and Siwoo Kim. T-Dub, does the winner of this non-signature event come out of that top five?
Well, considering my one-and-done pick is in that top five, I sure hope that it is. As you mentioned, it's a very classic golf course. I was trying to be able to make a trip down there this year and watch some of the golf. Unfortunately, I don't think I will be able to. Never been to Colonial. I absolutely want to. With all the great things you hear about it, I'd love to see exactly how it pans out. What is it? I believe the Horrible Horseshoe, it's called, holes 3, 4, and 5 around there. Very, very famous stretch of holes there. The course traditionally is not a bomber's paradise whatsoever. Usually the straighter drivers of the ball and the better chippers of the ball excel around here. So look forward to kind of neutralize maybe some of the long bombers in the game. Maybe suits up well for Colin Morikawa, who's in there second with a 7% chance to win. Speed, before he missed the cut here last year, he played extremely well at Colonial. He had the win back here in 2016, had three other second place finishes in there for Spieth, but Spieth has not been playing very good at all. He at least made the cut this week at the PGA, finished 43rd in there, finished 10th at the Valero Texas Open, but has not finished inside of the top 10, with the exception of Valero, has not finished inside of the top 10 going back to Waste Management earlier this year in Phoenix. So, be interesting to see if it's a course fit thing or if it's a recent form thing as to which one prevails, Sam, because Jordan Spieth, and traditionally, absolutely loves him some Colonial.
He certainly does. And on a normal week, I would probably pick Scottie Scheffler, but obviously he has some other off-the-course things to deal with, whether it be the baby or whether it be the, not backlash of the arrest, but the things he has to deal with now after this arrest, that he has to go back on June 3rd here a couple Mondays from now and go back to Louisville and deal with all that stuff. I just don't know how much this week took out of him. I think you saw a little bit of that on Saturday, but then he came back and played a great round on Sunday. So if I had to bet my life on it, I probably do pick Scottie Scheffler to win this golf tournament. But given everything I just said, I'm going to go a little bit outside of the box, and I'm going to go with our man, Taylor Moore. Like I said earlier, don't look now, but Taylor Moore has finished top 20 in his first two major championships this year. He also finished tied for second at the Houston Open and finished 12th at the Valspar. He is playing some very, very good golf, and Taylor Moore, obviously being from Oklahoma, the course down at Colonial, Bermuda fairways, Bermuda rough, and bent grass greens, that should make T. Moore feel right at home. I'm picking Taylor Moore to win this Charles Schwab Challenge this year, T-Dub, in 2024.
I sure hope you're right, Sam. It would be a beautiful thing. I think it's a great course fit for him, you think, with his style of game. He's played here twice, has missed a cut both times, but the reason is that he's putted horrible both years that he's here, so he has been putting better his last couple of events. He gained more than a shot and a half on the greens this week at the PGA Championship. So it looks like he's rolling the rock well. So I expect our man T. Moore to have a much better week than he's had traditionally here at Colonial. I wanted to pick, Sam, I'm going to go with someone who's sneakily playing some very, very good golf, up to the 26th ranked player analytically and the third favorite this week. Give me a man, Harris English, one of my favorite swings in the game of golf. So simple, just a nice body turn, a beautiful fader, fade swing. I could watch Harris English hit the golf ball all day long, and has been putting the ball extremely well. Going all the way back to the Waste Management in February, he's played in 9 events, and 8 of those 9, he's gained shots on the green. So I absolutely love what Harris English has been doing. As he recently finished 18th this week, or this last week, at the PGA Championship. He finished 2nd here in 2016. He finished 5th back here in 2012. Also finished 12th here last year. So absolutely loves Colonial. He's putted traditionally here in the past. The only year he has not putted good was last year, and he still finished 12th. I absolutely love Harris English this week. I think his course sets up well for him and on recent form as well. Beautiful combination there.
I really like that pick, T-Dub. Hey, by the way, what was the injury that Harris English went through? Didn't he go through an injury since he was on the Ryder Cup team?
Yes, he did, of some sort. Yes, I think it was a wrist injury, but I may be mistaken there. It was whatever it was. It's good to see him playing some better golf because he was a member of that 2021 Ryder Cup team. Reading here, it looks like it was a hip injury, which those are never fun whatsoever. The hips are a very integral part of the golf swing. Whenever you're not able to turn properly, especially with a swing like he has, you're going to have some very bad golf. So, yeah, it was in his right hip as well, a torn labrum. Not very fun stuff there for Harris English. Looks like he's fully recovered, though, and playing much better golf.
Very good stuff, T-Dub. We will be back tomorrow night. If you're in the Oklahoma City area, 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal, at 8 p.m. Our schedule's moved a little bit this week. Again, not because of Thunder basketball, unfortunately, but it's because we are playing the Eastern and Western Conference Finals on ESPN Radio on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the Sports Animal. So tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we will have the 73rd Hole Radio Show. If you want to text in and interact with us during that show, we always love that with all of our great listeners here in Oklahoma City. Also, follow us on social media at the 73rd Hole on Twitter and at 73rd 73rd hole on Instagram. By the way, X instead of Twitter, whatever. Do people actually call it X? I don't know. And then also go to golfoklahoma.org, and you can always listen to us on the Sports Animal app. Thank you, Woody. Thank you, T-Dub. This has been Sam Humphries on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Podcast.